Hey everyone, Teacher Joseph here. So to go with our most recent episode on things the USA does better than Taiwan, Bob and I actually recorded one more segment, this time some reflections of his on American-style houses. And we kind of tagged it on with some extra bonus content of a few funny outtakes and extra random thoughts. So, as a companion piece to the previous episode, hope you enjoy!
So you mentioned before something about enjoying having woods in the back of your house when you were staying in America. What are some other things that you noticed about houses in America when you first got there?
Well, mostly a story or two-story talls only, you know. I mean, I guess it's very common because most family just own such big of a land, you know. So that's one thing, and seems like almost every house has like owns at least a front yard or backyard, even in, like within city limits. So that's another difference I notice.
Yeah, even like driving into New York City or Boston, like definitely in the heart of the city, it's apartments, but like you see smaller houses kind of more squished together. But they still do have some kind of yard. You're right about that.
Right, for yeah. Sure. And the material itself that mostly think made by wood, maybe in downtown, in like the really center of the city, then you see the RC buildings, but suburban or country houses mostly made by wood. Family I live with, their house is kind of unique because the foundations, they use like concrete and stone, and they stack up stone to about like half tied to the wall.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So that's kind of unique, but rest of the houses is still, you know, made by wood.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that. Like definitely concrete or stone foundations, depending on how old the building is. And in most parts of the northern U.S., you do have basements. In the south, apparently you don't because, I mean, Florida is basically underwater in the first place. but then, yeah, it's a mix of wood, drywall, occasionally brick, depending on how old the building is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before in this podcast, you don't see concrete boxes really. And even in the city, it's still majority brick, wood, and drywall, just more brick.
Right. Yeah, so those like are the like my first impression of, you know, the houses in the States. I mean, there are other things here and there, but I guess it's a lot to do with climate and all that. So
yeah, very few places have to build for humidity, typhoons, or earthquakes. Except for California has earthquakes, but even then, like, I mean, Taiwan has more.
Yes.
Anything you notice about like layouts of houses, like? The one thing that comes to mind first and foremost is bathrooms are totally different. Now, obviously, Taiwan has modern, well-designed bathrooms now, but traditionally you have like a wet bathroom where it's the shower is the whole bathroom kind of, and it's all tile that is, to its credit, really easy to clean, but also pretty damn slippery.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Inside the house, I mean, mostly it's like a lot of family use carpet, right?
Yes.
Wood or carpet. The bathroom, yes. I think there's like one specific area just for shower, so floors gets wet, which is okay in that area. Yeah, but outside the shower curtains, usually they keep it pretty dry because the floor is made by wood and all that.
Yeah. I mean, even some really old American houses stupidly have. And you're not going to believe this if you haven't heard it already. They stupidly have carpeted bathrooms.
Yes.
Is just a recipe for mold. Thank God that's like kind of taboo nowadays. But again, that was a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And what else? Oh, and like central AC system.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Rarely see that in Taiwan. And
don't see that here.
Like, it's so common for family to have central AC system. Like, you don't see them often in Taiwan.
No, I mean, like, and, I mean, again, back to the concrete box thing. In Taiwan, I swear to God that I never really saw wall-mounted
vents,
horizontal air conditioners until Taiwan. If it wasn't a central AC unit, again, I'm from the north, so we don't really have such a huge need for AC aside from, like, a few months in the summer. If it wasn't wall-mounted, it was in-window.
As
here, where it's very often, like, again, a horizontal unit up by the ceiling with a pipe or wire going out somewhere else. And then, of course, they would also connect their central AC to central heating. It's kind of the same system. Yeah.
And, oh, quick question.
Sure.
The family I live with, they have, like, their vents, like, pipes through under the ground, so, like, the hot air, cold air comes out from, like, vents on the ground.
Yep.
Is it common in all area, or is it, like, really depends on the house design?
It depends on, how old the house is, actually. My house growing up, you had, like, cast iron radiators.
Right.
Which, I mean, if you touch it, you might burn yourself, so, like, that's kind of more old-fashioned. But those, they are still kind of energy efficient, so there's no real need to replace it unless you're just concerned about safety. But yeah, vents in the wall or the floor that you can kind of like open with the latch almost, pretty common, especially in the north. I'm trying to think of anything else that, like you've mentioned, like the way the house is really physically built, if anything else that's more unique that stands out. Built-in ovens in the kitchen is one thing I can also think of, but then again, that reflects on the fact that Americans more often cook with ovens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just having oven in general is something you don't see a lot in Taiwan, you know?
Which is like a shame though, because like I bought an oversized toaster oven here that, you know, was only like 4,000 NT, which isn't that expensive really.
Right.
It's like 120 bucks. It can roast a whole huge chicken, like it can do a lot, but people just choose to not ever cook that way, not even to experiment really.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting more and more, but I mean, it's just not something that people do a lot in you know, on a daily basis.
As a kid, like on occasion, my brother and I would ask for like stir fry for dinner, and of course, what is an American stir fry? You know, chopped up chicken breast meat, canned baby corn, canned water chestnuts, canned bamboo, and maybe broccoli and some other vegetables with one seasoning, soy sauce, because we have no idea what we're doing. But we tried, you know? If we should have, you know, rice vinegar and sesame oil and other things, like even garlic. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what else?
So actually, maybe even stepping away from like just the way the houses are designed, do you have any fond memories of like spending time in the yard when you were there?
Well, I can tell you my second night in the States, basically I lived outside.
Huh? Why?
I mean, the host family, I mean, they have a huge woody area, and I got in there during the summer, and the host family has a brother like a year younger than me, like their kids, and then he invited some friends, and basically we just camped out in the woods that night.
Nice. So, yeah, that's awesome.
And this is very common, you know, there's campfire just grabbing woods and logs from, I mean, 10 feet 20 feet away, you know. It's it seems something that's natural to them.
A part of that is a reflection on just a temperate forest as opposed to a subtropical one. You can more easily do that. But a part of that is a lifestyle. Yeah, I have fond memories of just camping outside for my birthday as a kid, like whatever, 8 years old, and like just for the sake of like the novelty of camping outside. Me and some elementary school friends just played Pokemon on a Game Boy Color the entire night, and that's it. But the fact is, oh my God, this is special. I get to camp outside when, like, I mean, some cultures would think like that's ridiculous because only poor people stay outside. But again, it's just there.
Right, right. And like outdoor, I mean, the family had a camper even, you know. I mean, I never lived in a camper in the States, but I mean, it's just something that they would use themselves for road trip and all that.
Yeah, just for the sake of having it.
What else? Living in the woods, get to see wild animals, like outside, I mean, outside the window, 20 feet, 30 feet away. The family, they have like bird feeders, honey bird feeders. So
that's actually, a good point. You don't see that here, or do you?
Not by family.
No.
I mean, I think they're places that like they raise. Well, no, those are domesticated pigeons, not wild pigeons. Do they even put bird feeders? I mean, there's literally no wild birds in the city area.
Well, I mean, actually, in my old neighborhood, we really would get a lot of birds, especially kind of coming into the open balcony. And like, you could go up to the roof and you could see a lot of wild birds. But there is a birding culture. People go to parks and take photos of birds like crazy sometimes, but they don't do it by their house.
Right.
Yeah.
Bird
feeders, a good point.
Bird feeders, hummingbird feeders. That one was fun. I mean, there's just so much wild animals that you get to see.
Yeah. And you were in Indiana, right?
Yes.
And then later on, I mean, I'm going to assume Idaho may have had even more.
Actually, no, the area I live in Idaho is actually pretty desolate. Like a dry desert, not dry desert, winter desert or basalt desert, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the whole area is actually pretty dry. I mean, it's not hot during the summer, but it's pretty dry. It's a desert. It's considered like a desert.
So did you get like any animals like, I don't know, armadillos or desert animals at all?
No, not really. Not ones I actually noticed. The area actually has trout, like rainbow trout.
Cool.
Fish life, fishery, so there's that. But in terms of other land wild animals, I actually don't know though.
I may have told you this outside of the podcast, but in my college campus, there would just occasionally be herds of deer that would just walk around because like the full college property was like one third university campus and two thirds nature reserve. That was part of the way that the charter was granted the land.
Okay.
And of course, I mean, for whatever reason, the college did not permit hunting. So the deer figured this out and they, oh, okay, we're safe here. And there's all this random... you know, there's all this activity by the campus. Let's just like wander around and block people from getting back to their dorms as we stand in the way on the sidewalks, just because we're deer, we're in the way. And like at first, you know, it's absolutely adorable and amazing. Oh my God, there's a herd of deer. And then it's like, deer, get the heck away. You're blocking me. Or, you know,
I've classes to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you're going to make me late for my class, you stupid deer. And these deer are huge sometimes. Like, they're taller than us.
Wow.
So, like, you don't want to trifle with them. But right. At the same time, it's like it's their land too. So they never saw that many deer or that large wildlife in my home growing up. But we would get rabbits, raccoons, again, tons of birds. Bears, you'd have to go kind of further up in the hills. Groundhogs, you know, smaller animals like that.
Natural areas is mostly more or less protected in a lot in the States anyway. Yeah. So,
and Taiwan has a lot more of a division, like where the city ends abruptly, the hills and jungles begin, kind of.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's
right,
just the function of the land, lack of space.
Right.
All right. So, anything else to say about American houses, garages? I don't know.
Love garages.
Yeah.
I mean, wish I have one. I mean, that. Yeah, I mentioned that if I own a house, I would definitely want a place to tinker things with, you know.
Yeah.
So garage is definitely a place. And yes, that's one thing I really like about garage. Fun things. Well, I broke a window a couple of weeks into my stay in the host family, so that was fun.
Was there bars in the window to catch your fall?
No. It's just like regular glass window, and I was throwing walnuts in the yard, and just like one just went away and just hit the window. So there's that.
Oops, that's a good impression.
Yeah, I was worried I would get sent back before the school even starts. So that was fun.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, doing the yard work. Like most families have lawnmowers, the mostly maintain their lawn pretty well.
Yeah. My dad used to, I mean, my dad probably never really minds it, but he used to struggle to find time to do that sometimes.
Right.
And he'd always be like picky about it. He's like, no, just you guys rake the leaves and, you know, pick up sticks. I want to mow the grass because I have my way. I'm like, okay, sure. So our lawn always got kind of a bit overgrown about the neighbors. But did you ever ride on mower?
I did. And I actually tried to mow for the family on several occasions, but when grass got cut, they released chemical smell. Like, yeah, so that gave me pretty severe allergic reaction.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't do that as much anymore. I mean, I didn't do that at all after we realized that I had an allergic reaction. Yeah, and driveways depends on the family. The one I lived in, they have pretty long driveway, almost like 100 meter long driveway. So
yeah, you get that out there. It's the same material as the road. It's the same blacktop
asphalt. Yeah, most family do.
Like when you go to the mountains in Taiwan, like you'll actually get houses and, you know, like cottages with driveways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not built up next to the road, but I always see it as concrete, like gray concrete, as opposed to the same blacktop. I have no idea why. Maybe it's availability of materials, but that was kind of surprising because the gray concrete's more bumpy.
Yes, and they probably don't last as long. People live out there, the guesses, because like it's easier for them to maintain.
Yeah, I think that if you don't mind a bumpy driveway, then like a gray concrete driveway probably is going to last a long, long time.
Yeah,
like a smooth kind of American style driveway, you might have to repave it here and there.
Asphalt doesn't usually come cheap or come easy in Taiwan, I guess.
And also you don't have to deal with setting that up for winter plowing.
Right. And what else about American homes? And I live in a pretty remote area, so.
So that just in itself is different because you grew up pretty close to the heart of Taipei, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, never took school buses. I mean, the family drove me to school, but can totally understand why school buses are so important, you know, for the school systems.
It's actually interesting. Like, I actually asked about school buses in Taiwan my first few years here, and then people were like, there's no need for them. I'm like, well, not even in, like, small towns? Because Taiwan has small towns.
Oh, yeah.
No. There's just no need for them, really.
Yes and no.
Say about like the highest mountain villages, maybe there's like a bus system there, but it's not common.
No, it's not common, but we do have them.
Okay.
Yeah. The school I work for in Hualien, they have a school bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Probably looks very different from an American one.
Yeah, it's very much like the one that, like the smaller one that our school has.
Oh, so like a mini bus that you
would see. Bus.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely miss the place. But, well, here's a question I have for you. I mean, probably you have or don't have the answer for that. Are there a lot of people in the States, like, build their own houses?
Oh, definitely. If not build it, do like routine renovations that they plan themselves or even just do themselves. My grandpa built his house from scratch. Even he hired, I mean, like, he didn't himself build the entire physical house, but he designed it, hired the company to dig the foundation and built it in like two phases.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, he just bought a plot of land and it's not just like developers that show off like a model that you could like build and copy that. Like it very much is that people will go out and hire architects to give an original design influenced by historic designs of the area, of course. But I mean, my grandpa built his own house and that was only in the, what, I guess in the 60s and 70s?
Mm-hmm.
70s.
Yeah, I mean, that's very common because the family, I think their family build their own houses too.
I guess where I'm from, because it's like the oldest part of the country, I don't really see or hear people that, you know, people that I went to high school, college with, I don't hear about them like really doing it, because just in general in Massachusetts, there's not a lot of new home construction.
Right.
Like other parts of the country. I mean, hell, like, you know, Texas, Nevada, parts of California, parts of Georgia, there's a ton of buildings still. You got me thinking about what I would do if I could build my own house now.
Yeah, I'm thinking exactly that. I mean, I'm learning, you know, interior design right now. I'm actually on my screen. I'm working on it right now, too.
I think that your average Taiwanese would, if, were they interested in this, they would buy a random, even somewhat dilapidated existing house and renovate the crap out of it, but the concrete shell intact, or update that, as opposed to building from scratch, because that's just people, that's just kind of just never happens here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it, I'm thinking maybe because like laws, and I mean, you need so many permits and experts for that, so it requires a lot more money than...
I could imagine that it's a lot trickier, like you said, with permits to build from the ground up. Whereas, like you can totally renovate in stages, and then like, oh, lo and behold, the house is 95% renovated.
Right.
But, like, you know, we did it a few different times, and the paperwork said this and this, but the end result's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
So for American houses, I mean, I do envy the fact that a lot of people can, you know, build their own, can change it however they want, and there's not as much of a restrictions as, you know, what we have in Taiwan. Because let's say I'm thinking, just like looking at my design right now, like I'm thinking that, oh, so if I want to break this wall to open up the space more, you know, sometimes it's not possible because, you know, this wall has... is a weight-bearing wall, so you cannot take it apart. You have to leave it there, and that restricts you a lot. And a lot of those are designed by, by people a long time ago.
I was going to say, you still get some of those restrictions in U.S. houses, like weight-bearing
walls. I bet.
Well, yeah. And there are a lot of regulations to deal with, especially with, like, electrical codes, and they vary state by state also.
Right. Right, but
stifle creativity at all.
Yes. That's the thing that I'm kind of envy, that just the fact, you know, people get to do a lot to what they want about what the place they live in. And it's often quite possibly they can do that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if there would be any kind of change in Taiwan in the future. I tend to think no.
No.
But, you know, things trend hard here.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I remember, I kind of enjoy knowing or being with is swimming pool.
Swimming pool? Yeah!
Do you have one at home?
But no, I never did. My parents never thought that was a worthwhile thing to do, but it is pretty common.
Yes.
Yeah. For a time, my grandparents had one at their house.
Okay.
At one point, they decommissioned it and, you know, had a professional construction company take it out of the ground. Because it's a crap ton of work to maintain it over the summer. It really takes a lot of money. But people get them for their houses. Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing I kind of like about a lot of houses. But, I mean, I totally understand you have to maintain it, and that's another cost.
I wonder how much that would cost in Taiwan, like... I mean, getting a house with extra space outside in the first place is a lot, but like getting, like installing your own in-ground swimming pool, I mean, I've never seen that here. That's just not a thing.
Yeah, well, first you need to have a space outdoors.
Yeah.
And then you worry about the installation and the piping and all that.
I mean,
the space outdoors is so hard to come by.
I mean, we definitely covered a lot of bases, and it was nice hearing your reflections on, like, your first impressions of going to the States, because, yeah, the houses just are so demonstrably different.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yes. Would you ever want to move back to the States just for an American-style house?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But would you do it?
For the house, for just having a place to
like,
live in?
I mean, it's impossible to have like an American-style house when you wake up in the morning and then walk outside and then have a Taiwanese-style lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would totally... That, I mean, okay, so American-style homes are definitely something I would love to have.
Yeah.
Whether in Taiwan, it's probably not the most ideal because, you know, I don't think American-style homes can withstand all the natural disaster we have.
Of course not. Of course yeah. not. You see news about hurricanes hitting, like, you know, the Carolinas or Florida, and it's just people
yeah.
just destroyed completely.
Yes.
And like there's massive insurance plans you get, and they're rebuilt, I guess, kind of quickly. And if you want to say like 2 years being fast, but yeah, but they're not built to withstand anything like that.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear, like, saw those news, like, a simple Category 3 hurricane can wipe out the entire town, which is, like, in Taiwan, that would never happen.
No. And frankly, did you feel the earthquakes last night?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I actually woken up by the alarm first.
Yeah, like, I woke up out of, you know, I was jolted awake out of a pretty sound sleep, and I was like, what the heck's happening? It took me a minute to realize what's happening. And then I was like, okay, this is a lot. Should we leave the building? There's no alarm. Maybe not. It was freaky.
Well, for me, it's actually funny. I mean, I got woken up by the alarm first, saw the alarm, not sure what happened, and then felt the earthquake.
Okay.
So I actually have like 10-15 seconds before, I mean, before what to do next, you know, before yeah. I know what to do next. And yeah, I mean, does your community have some kind of alarm systems?
I mean, I assume so, but not that I really could answer concretely. That was a pun.
Oh.
It's because the building's concrete. And that's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Nice one though. Hey, you're the dad, so I think we're going to start getting the dad jokes now.
I'm back and I brought the cat too.
Okay, the podcast's gonna be fun now.
Yep. It's not really a podcast, it's a podcat. Like, yeah, sure. I'm thinking about, like, when my family, when I was a kid, like, moved into the current house in the U.S., mm-hmm. like, my parents hated the fact that the living room was entirely painted in yellow. They thought it was weird. But then again, that was, like, you know, that was the 60s or whatever. Right. The house was, like, when we bought it, there was some old lady living there who'd been there, like, her whole life, and right. she didn't change her design. Yeah.
So yeah, and like in the bigger buildings, sometimes you say that you can see those finances record of the committee, like a whole apartment complex committee, and eventually they have some kind of meetings as a whole to decide what to do with that, right? This part is probably not going to be in the recording, but in your older building in Yonghe, right?
Yeah.
On the list, on the elevator going up, I saw that they have reports on their finance of, you know, I mean, the money builds up to millions throughout the time, but that's how much it takes for one single-while big repair, you know?
Yeah, and, like, my old building in Yonghe was, I wouldn't say it was necessarily that ugly, but, I mean, then, like, it's still covered in bathroom tile.
Right. But yeah. I mean, you do consider,
say what?
You do have to consider, like, those money paying to repairing the elevators, hiring the guards, like general maintenance and all that. Right.
Yeah. And like that is a function also of a lot of Taiwanese living in high rises.
Right.
Even though, so it's, like, it's my very old apartment, common. Yeah. even though like that old building wasn't particularly that big, but I mean, it kind of was. Like, there was probably 36 family homes there.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, if I'm counting right. At least 30
right.
in the building, depending. I mean, some could have been two floors. You never know.
But there's more than one buildings around there, right?
Yeah, so that particular building had three different elevator chambers.
Right.
So, like, you had what the hell, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12
right.
Numbers. And, one guard, that kind of courtyard area. And, yeah.
I mean, I bet part of your rent goes into that fund as well.
Yes and no, because my landlord lived below and she just kind of cut the unit in half. So, like, you know, it all, she paid into it, of course. But like,
right, right. I mean, it's probably not going to be you out of the pocket, but it could be part of the rent or rent agreements in some places. But
yeah. It fell on her shoulders.
Right, right, right. And I mean,
so no joke, Bob. I've toyed with the idea of just beginning a new Instagram page called Ugly Buildings of Taipei.
Please don't.
Please don't.
You are going to get so much crap for that.
I'm
going to
get canceled.
Yes, you're going to get canceled so hard and so fast.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, so of course, going through school in the U.S., I had tests, but I feel like looking at all my classes, like I very often had an essay or a project
right.
at the same rate that I'd have a test. And like they were kind of held up equally, and like mm-hmm. sure there were final exams for some classes, especially math class, but for other classes you had a final essay, a final mm-hmm. project, or a research project. And I even remember in college one semester, you know, you take roughly five classes a semester.
Seven.
All five of my classes didn't have a final exam, like. One had an exam that the teacher had scheduled, or sorry, the professor had scheduled like a week in advance for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and the other four had projects. And I was busy as hell writing essays and doing projects, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to sit for a test at all.
Quick question though.
Sure.
Did you do, when you were in high school, did your school have like a senior project stuff?
No, I don't know what you're talking about, to be honest.
A senior project. So in my school, we had a senior project. Basically, it stretches year long. And so, you know, in our school, we have for their Chinese classes, not English ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a semester long project. Like kids, they get to do, they choose a topic, right? And then they do the experiment, they research it. Or they, I don't know, interview people, whatever. It can be like social project. You can study society, so study science, study whatever, right? Or self-improvement projects.
Study arts or even hobbies, right?
Right, 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 right. Yeah. And it runs like a whole semester long, right?
Sure.
And then later on, they make a poster, they make a presentation for, and that becomes kind of like their big show in front of the parents in the end,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of like a science fair, but not all science.
Right, right, right. It's just like a self self-assigned projects
required
by the school. But so when I mentioned, like, did your school have senior project? I mean, I'm talking about similar things to that, but just run by high school's kids, you know?
Okay. That sounds really awesome. My school personally did not. My school had, like, what was oddly called block scheduling, wherein, like, you only had four classes a day, but each class was two periods, and then you switch at the end of the semester. So some classes, I mean, plenty of classes had a final project or like projects as a big part of the, mm-hmm. the curriculum, but like there was no like school-wide project that was like a graduation requirement, really.
Yeah, that was a graduation requirement, you know.
Kind of cool, actually. I like
it. I mean, it's cool and it's also not cool. I fail pretty miserably on that one because I really don't know what that is. And quite frankly, at the time, I don't know how to do a project myself. you know.
And that is another kind of antiquated part of Taiwan's education system. It's almost a flaw that students, at least who came up when you did, like, didn't learn how to do that really.
Yeah, we're pretty good at test taking skills, you know.
Yeah,
I can BS my way through any test pretty well, whether I actually know the stuff or not. But yeah, I mean, at the time, when it comes to certain kind of projects, it's like, you know, how do I do that? You know,
speaking of
personal experience. Side notes. Speaking of music, like discovering, do you know a kid? Like, I think the kid posted on TikTok of listening to his dad's funk music. And the dad never actually published the music, but he had a CD of his own music, and the kids found it and loved the song, shared on TikTok, and now it's become like a TikTok or YouTube sensation. Do you know the story?
Is this here in Taiwan?
No, in the States.
Bob, I'm too old for TikTok.
No, it's just, no, dude, the music was kind of good though.
Okay, so there's this is some kid in the U.S. who discovered his dad's funk music because his dad was in like a funk band back when he was younger.
Yeah. And they never actually made it, but the dad made his music into a CD, and kids happened to find it in the car and play it and love it. I mean, just cool. Do some Google search, and it's kind of cool. And
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, when kids were young, parents starting wanting to expose kids to music in Taiwan, first thing they will think about are, you know, piano, violin, cellos, flutes, all that kind of instruments.
I often think, and this might be controversial, but I think that's one of the last like vestiges of like European colonialism and Western dominance in the world. Like, you go like to countries the world over, and like the well-to-do people are funding or going to see orchestras.
Yeah.
With piano, violin. It's like, okay, so where is the massive world-renowned music performance of, you know, traditional Chinese instruments to rival a European symphony? Does China have one? I'm sure Beijing has like a huge Philharmonic.
Yeah.
I
mean, there are instruments, traditional instruments, band ensembles and all that still in Taiwan.
Yeah. Yeah, but like kids don't learn it in school, really.
Yeah, and almost no one make them into, I mean, it's not mainstream music, consider, you know, how the music world goes in Taiwan.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that, I mean, a lot of kids growing up learning just that certain kind of, you know, ensemble music instruments, and not too many with guitars and all that, so...
You don't have a lot of people in your social circles at all times to talk about like big topics with. So I'm really, really happy to have you on again as my guest and have what is now going on as a 2-hour conversation.
You just have to edit though. Last time was like, what, an hour and 19 minutes or something?
Yeah, I think I edited it down last time from an hour 45 to an hour 15-ish.
Yeah.
But
good luck.
Yeah, I mean, so it'll take